One job. Now I know how you feel. You're right, Leah. There you go. Let's just jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you need a Bible, just shoot up your hand real quick. We can get you that because we want you to follow along with us. We want you to know what's written in the Word. So if you need that, just shoot. No shame in it. Ain't no shame in it. Oh, cool. We got one. Cool. No shame. Look, this morning we were having a time of worship, and it was an awesome time of worship. And it's funny because I there's this constant tug between Rob and I, where he's always like, we're not worshiping enough. And I'm like, no, trust me, we are. You know, and it's like, because I want to try, I'm like, well, we need to teach more. And he's like, no, we need to worship more. And this is the tension that gives us the beautiful balance that we have here. But it can become a tension sometimes. And this morning, I'm like, Lord, what is Rob doing? He's taking forever. You know, and the Lord goes, he's like, you want to know? And I'm like, yeah, I want to know. I want you to rebuke him. And he goes, Scott, you talk too much. And you're easily offended. I go, I'm offended by that. But the reality is he did. He said, you talk too much. He goes, you've got to make it through quicker. You've got to give, you know, you can't keep dumping the 5-liter bucket into the shot glass. Make it succinct. So I'm just going to talk really fast this morning. Okay, 3 cups of coffee, I'm good. Okay, you can play this back at half speed if you want later from the website. We have a special button for that. But in the meantime, it's a little warm in here. I got coffee. We're going to be good. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm just going to pick it up about verse 4. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each. Which part of each are you? It's the each that's going to reach our community. So to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Here's the thing, guys. Little. I know this is going to be a bit of a shock to some of you. Okay, so just everybody sitting down? Comfortable? Okay, you don't have all the spiritual gifts. You don't have all the gifts. You actually need that person to the right and to the left. You have blind spots in your Christian walk. No, I don't. I can't see them. That's why it's called a blind spot, okay? Because it's not a call that I can see it sometimes spot, okay? You have blind spots. And to the extent that you are self-aware is the extent that you're going to be able to embrace this and grow from it. One of the ways God does this is through the wild, wonderful madness called marriage. How many? I had no idea there was a different way of looking at things. I had literally spent 20 years of my life thinking I was absolutely and utterly correct on every subject, and it was the rest of the world that were complete idiots. Anyone else in that boat? Don't look, okay, thank you. I got two honest men in here, okay? All the women are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, the reality is it's like suddenly I got married and you know, my wife's like, well, you shouldn't condemn that person. I'm like, condemn them? They're an idiot. I'm not condemning them. So, like I say, within marriage, it takes 10 years where you try to change the other person, where you think they're just as foolish as everyone else. Then you spend the next 10 years realizing, oh, maybe I'm the idiot. If you're really sort of honest with it, you kind of realize, And now I'm in the third 20 years of marriage, or third 10 years of marriage. And in that 10 years, we're about 2 years into that, I think we realized it's like, go team. You know? It's like Wonder Twin Powers activate, you know? Jabron's like, honey, condemn them. I'm like, I can do that. You know? I'm like, Jabron, love them. She's like, I can do that. It's an awesome. We were talking with our kids the other day, and you know, they had said a little quippy joke about Jabron, and then they said, "Oh no, well, Mom, we're just kidding. We love you. You're awesome. You are so loving," and Dad, he's the other guy. I was like, "Oh," they're like, "No, it's good, Dad. You need someone who's like forceful and difficult and." And then they were saying all these things, and they're just like, you know? I'm like, okay, no inheritance. Tara gets all of it. Okay, it's all going to her. You guys are on your own, you know? We'll work out a rental agreement next week. So if any of you have a room to let, my kids could use it. But the reality is it's like we do. We balance one another, don't we? And that's the same thing in the body of Christ. Verse 8, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. The same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, to another, the working of miracles. That's the one we're talking about today. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits or the discerning of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And he goes on from there and he goes, you know, we're one body, but many members. Honestly, guys, some of us think we're one member, but many bodies. You know what I'm saying? We're one body, but many members. And we all come together. He says, the ear and the foot, man, they can't argue. They shouldn't argue. They're different. We need to have harmony and work together. So we're looking this morning at the gift, or the, if you will, the working of miracles. And sometimes we say to ourselves, well, Scott, you know, look, I don't know if these things are for me. These are for like the really spiritual people. You don't know what goes on in my mind. You don't know the sin that takes place in my heart. You don't know those things that I do. Guys, is the cross of no effect? I don't know about you. You're right. I know about me. And I know I lack. I agree with my enemy quickly. How many of you get that small voice? It's not really a still small voice. That one's the Lord. It's a loud, screeching, cackling voice that speaks into your heart and says, man, what do you think you're doing? Man, you're a sinner. And if that voice can keep us in that place, we'll constantly, like was spoken, the word that was spoken this morning during worship, we'll constantly wonder, question our citizenship. When in reality, I agree with my adversary quick. Man, I was. You got it half right there, enemy. I was a sinner. But now I'm saved. And I'm not really getting hung up on the saved sinner portion. That is in my past. Guys, I'm a naturalized, it's not naturalized. It's immigrant, whatever. New Zealand citizen. I think it is naturalized. Yes? Kevin's shaking his head. Oh, I'll take that as yes. Okay, I'm a naturalized New Zealand citizen. I was not born a New Zealand citizen. Just like many of you were not born into God's kingdom, you had to be born again. You had to be naturalized in, if you will. At least, and I, you know, we can sort of argue this and there's some things about it, but the reality is it's like I don't get caught up in whether I'm a New Zealand citizen or not. Now, many of you all, you say, oh, well, you don't look like a New Zealand citizen, or you don't sound like one. It's really an irrelevant point. You know, I don't go, gosh, you know, they're right. You know, I need to wear gumboots and stubbies more. You know, or whatever. Ian knows what I'm saying. Okay. You know, it's like the reality is I am. And so therefore, what the Bible says is because I'm a citizen, I have gifts. We've talked about 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, for as each one has a gift. I came across another verse this way, and I love it when these things just jump out at me. Just a couple chapters back, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, 7:7. Paul says, I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has his own gift from God. Which part of each are you? Each has his own gift from God. So as we see some of these gifts, I believe this is the Holy Spirit toolbox that he gives us, where the appropriation of these gifts can be meted out as there would be a need. And the one we talk about this morning is the working of miracles. Now this is, I don't think this is the most controversial one of these gifts, but I think it is the one that we often lack the ability just innately to just really reach out and grab hold of and just take with us and see it implemented. See, we are in hot pursuit of the spiritual gifts. We're told to desire earnestly the best spiritual gifts. To desire earnestly, it means to pursue fervently. See, a lot of us have this mentality. We're like, you know, yeah, the gifts are there. I see them. They're in the Bible. But God's got my number. You know, if he wants me to have that gift, it's like, oh, beep, boop, 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 boop. Yeah. Hello, Scott. This is God. I want you to work a miracle today. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, God. Hold on. Wait one. I just got another call. You know what I mean? It's like, that's sort of the mentality we have. God's got my number. If he wants me to work a miracle, if he wants me to heal someone, he'll tell me. Now, I shared with some people on Thursday night at the prayer meeting a situation where God did tell me. God does have my number, you know, and he did tell me, and I didn't do it, so now I'm praying with it. These people, I had to make an appointment to pray with them on Monday. Long story. But the reality is I am to pursue fervently. I'm to chase after. And some of you guys are like, well, you know, I don't see a lot of healing in my life. I don't see a lot of working of miracles. I never have the ability to interpret or prophesy. Maybe it's because you're waiting for the phone to ring instead of running out to grab it. The biblical principle is an earnest desire, a burning hot pursuit. And so when we see a miracle, I want to see, you know, one of the things we have to first understand is the difference between a miracle and the miraculous. Okay, any one of, because we can just say, well, you know, the working of miracles is really just any of the other gifts. And I'd say to some extent that's true, that these other areas of gifts, you know, healing, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, interpretation, tongues, all these, faith, all these other areas, we look at these things and we say, well, you know, those are all miracles. Well, let's define it this way. Those are miraculous. They are. But there is a specific area where it's called the working of miracles. Now, let me define this. A good friend of mine, a person that we've met through Josh Klinkenberg, a guy called Dana McCollum, who's just a really neat guy and very insightful, he defines a miracle as this. It's an event that suspends or defies natural law to release divine purpose. An event that suspends or defies natural law to release divine purpose. Now we're going to talk in a little bit about some of the what these look like and where we see them in the Bible. But a lot of the other gifts that we see, they either, instead of suspending natural law or physical law, what they do is they accelerate or increase a capacity. They either accelerate or increase the capacity. When we pray for healing on someone, I believe that simply, it's not so much a miracle as it is an acceleration of the healing process that God has put into that person. Are you tracking with me? It's an acceleration or a boost to that healing process. Now, if you pray for someone who can't hear because they have no eardrums, you can pray for healing over that person all day long. You tracking with me? And they ain't going to hear. Because there's nothing to accelerate. Okay? What that person needs is they need a miracle over that ear that an eardrum would grow back. Are you with me? Some of you guys are like, oh, okay, that's cool. Don't worry about it. You will, as long as a few of us pick up on this, we can start to see this happen. See, so often there's situations, if someone's like called, like we call them, you know, lefty, because their arm's gone. You can pray for that right arm to be healed. You know what I'm saying? If it's gone. But they don't, you know, it could be like, yeah, you know, my shoulder's fine, but my arm's gone. What does that person need? They need a miracle. There's a slight difference. So acceleration or increased capacity. Think about increased capacity, faith, wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. These are kind of increased capacity to do these things. So there's a slight difference. But that stands in contrast to defying natural and physical law. Guys, that's what the working of miracles is. And this one can be very hard for us to have the faith to reach into the toolbox and grab and take out. in his wonderful book called Concerning Spiritual Gifts, which is in our library by Donald G., with concern to the working of miracles, Donald G. said, and I quote, "We have no ground for distinguishing between the gifts." We have no ground for distinguishing between the gifts. In other words, when it talks about speaking in tongues here, and many of us within this congregation have just reached out and grabbed hold of speaking in tongues, and we speak in tongues on a regular basis. And we say, oh, well, that's easy. But it's the same breath that the Spirit breathes the idea of speaking in tongues that he tells us that there's the ability, the power to work miracles. And too many of us are like, well, no, it's a different category. I don't think so. If I can lay hold of something as quote-unquote simple as speaking in tongues, man, these other areas, there's no reason to distinguish between them. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Do you know the word for miracles here is the same word that's power there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? It's the word dunamis. It's the word dunamis. It means power. God's telling us, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you has the Holy Spirit come upon? Then you have received power. The same thing when it says the working of miracles. It's two words. It's energema, which means energy working or affecting. Energema, working. And dunamis, that same word from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Dunamis, it's an amazing word, dunamis. It's an amazing word. And God wants us to lay a hold of it. Because you can only declare the will of God when you know what that will is. So let me define this word dunamis for you. It means to be able, to be powerful. It means to inflict one's will. And there's sections of this. I was amazed as I was reading about this. It means inherent power, power that resides within a person by nature. It means the power to perform miracles. It means moral power and excellence of soul. That would be a miracle for some of us, eh? It means the power and influence of wealth. Let that one sink in for a moment. Too many of us are downstream, guys. And God wants to put us upstream, not for the benefit of being higher, but so that our influence can flow down. Dunamis, one of the definitions, is the power and influence of wealth. Another definition is the power and influence of numbers. To see that too long has the body of Christ been fractured, split apart. But it also means, and I love this one, the power arising from an army or a force of hosts. That's cool, man. Dunamis. The working of miracles. Inherent power. Miracles. Moral power. The power of wealth. The power of numbers. The power of an army. God wants you to go out and work miracles. Now, just quickly, I want to just sort of give us the context of what this sort of looks like within sort of the Bible. I'd say there's a couple categories. I like to rhyme things. I like alliteration. And so I have really four categories that I thought sort of summed up what I would put as miracles. Like I say, we have things like healing, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, but then there's miracles. And remember, guys, God's saying that he's giving this to us. And so the first category I'd use is what I'd call manipulation. And it's the manipulation of physical properties. The manipulation of physical properties. Now, what would be some of these ideas? One is Jesus and Peter walking on the water. Amen? I don't know what other category you put that in besides the miraculous. I think that definitely comes into the place where we would say it is the suspending the suspending or defying of natural law to release divine purpose. So there's manipulation. There's when they had that the axe head float. Do you remember that? In the Old Testament. Philip being translated. Anything else? Anybody can think of anything else that would fall into that category of physical, the realm of physics being suspended? The Red Sea parting. Dude, what else do you put? That one's not exactly, oh, that's a healing. No, it's a miracle. Absolutely. What else? Water into wine. My man, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Okay, well, we're getting, that's another category that we're coming to. Don't get ahead of me. Yep, go ahead. That's a pretty good point. I hadn't thought about that one. Yeah. Interesting. I'll give you that one. Yeah. Oh, he said Goliath getting stoned. Okay, you're getting ahead of me. Okay, so the next category is what David just alluded to, which is we move from manipulation of the physical environment to multiplication. Now, these would definitely be in the category of miracles as well. As David said, the fish and the bread, where things were multiplied. At the same time, does anybody remember the story Gibran used last week of the widow's oil? What would be other areas that we would call multiplication miracles? The church? Yeah, that's an interesting theory. Yeah, I'll give you that. The army of bones rising up? That's a great one. I think we could put that into several categories. But yeah, what do you do with that, man? It's like, that's got to be something. How about manna from heaven? What was that? The quail. Great point. So we see that there's multiplication miracles. But then again, there's also, as was referred to by our sound desk crew, meteorological miracles. We talked about the calming of the storm. What else would be in the meteorological? I think we could, you know, I think the Red Sea, it defies categories because it did say that it was a wind. So I'll have to ask the Lord. He'd be like, yeah, it was meteorological. Okay, well, you know, I mean, it'd be interesting when we get to heaven. I'll have to figure out what category it comes into. So we have manipulation, multiplication, meteorological, but then what I would call mutilation. There's things that the enemy does to try to either through accident or by birth to mutilate the beauty of his creation, which is mankind. And so often we see, really by anecdote, the creation of limbs and eyes. That I've heard the anecdotal evidence of this. I think another one would be as I had been following up on a young man who had Down syndrome. That over a 3-year period, a group of people had prayed over him, and his Down syndrome had abated. It was not in like an instant. But over this 3-year period where they had prayed for him, his Down syndrome had abated, and he's living, I hate to use the word normal, but he's not afflicted by that anymore. So we have these various areas, and the area that I would sort of reach out for and sort of, I wouldn't be dogmatic about this, but I'd say it's sort of a creative miracle when Jesus healed the blind man. Now remember, guys, track with this. Remember, he spit in the mud, right? And made mud and put it on his eyes. Why? I think there's a bit of a hint to this. Because once he was healed, nobody recognized him. Why? I believe he didn't have eyes. Jesus is effectively saying, hey, you were made out of mud. Mud with the touch of God is enough to create. And so, you know, I'm not going to sort of sell this as doctrine. I'm just saying interesting theory that Jesus then puts the mud on, as I said, I'm just going to take the dust, what you're made of, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, potassium. That's basically the makeup of dust, dirt, and mankind. And he says, I'm going to put eyes on you. And then people couldn't recognize. These are creative miracles. Now here's the thing, guys. Does the enemy have miracles? Can the enemy operate in this area? Biblically. Give me an example. What's an example? Yes. Jannes and Jambres, the magicians in Egypt who stood against Moses. Remember, Moses was sitting here and he's like, hey, I'm going to make the Red Sea blood. And they're like, well, we can do that too. Hey, I'm going to, and you know, the funny thing was, is notice this. In those miracles that these really, I believe, satanically inspired magicians were doing, all they could do is make it worse. I mean, yeah, it's impressive if you can make it blood, but can you turn the water back to water? No, they couldn't. They could only be used for God's purpose. I remember as a young fellow, I mean, I was probably 8 or 9 years old. I was watching TV on a weekend afternoon, kind of one of those times you're sort of sitting there on your own. And I had seen this sort of documentary, and they were talking about witches, and it deeply affected me, actually. And these witches, it was a crack-up because I remember they were saying that they could change the weather. And that they had documented this. And so the guy who was doing it, he's like, okay, well, let's give it a try. And they're like, okay. And they're doing their thing, jumping around, calling on the underlord of the world. I don't know. And it's like, the guy's like, yeah, nothing happened. Which I thought was pretty funny. But the reality is these people, they were convinced that by the power of the enemy, they could change the weather. The enemy has miracles, but we are able to stand against him in power. Acts chapter 19, verse 11, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hand of Paul. Extraordinary miracles. I've said this before. I just want the ordinary ones to start with. You know what I'm saying? We'll take the ordinary ones. Now, to me, I think there's some things that are a little easier for us to lay hold of. But the reality is sometimes we have to jump onto these things little by little. You know, especially when it comes to these areas of creative miracles. Sometimes I think if we don't see, bam, like a poof of smoke and a bright light, and the arm comes back, we're like, no, nope, it's not the Lord. I've watched joints return to functionality. Before we had this situation with Jeremy, but it's where it's happened little by little. But they come back to true and total functionality. And it's exciting to me. Yeah. And that was cool. I love that. Those are the cool ones. I'm waiting for the smoke and the light, you know? But that was cool. But we've seen other things where it's like, look, little by little, we see those things come back. And we have to step out and keep going after these things, keep jumping after them. You know, one of the things I think as we reach out, as we go out, we had a situation. Well, I want you guys to share. I think that's one of the things that I want to sort of, and I'm going to have you share in a little bit as we talk about this when we sort of get the activation, because I think it's important. But one of the things that we too often say is, well, what if nothing happens? Guys, you're talking to a guy who has gone up to guys in wheelchairs and grabbed them by the hand and the shoulder and tried to pull them up and say, walk in the name of Jesus. And they didn't walk. And you know what? I'm going to do it again. And again. And again until they do walk. Because we're not trying to earn the power of the Holy Spirit. We're trying to learn the power of the Holy Spirit. And how do these things work? I don't know. I'm not totally convinced. I don't understand how some of these things work entirely. But I'll tell you what, there's other areas where I have so much more insight now than I did 10 years ago. See, I'm earnestly pursuing. Something occurred to me while I was studying through this, and I am almost done. Me and my dad used to fish, I wouldn't say a lot, but it's something that we really enjoyed doing when I was growing up. And I'm sure, and gals, maybe you can't relate to this. Sorry. I've only got my own experience to draw on. But you know how many of us going fishing with our dad? It was and your dad. You'd always leave with nothing. You know what I'm saying? You'd always come home. Mom's like, "How did it go? I've got the pan heated up." It's like, well, there's no reason to because we never catch anything. And it's kind of like, well, why is that? I remember my dad would take me. We'd go around to these like seminars and stuff where you're supposed to learn how to fish for this species or that species better. And I remember the thing that occurred to me about these guys who were giving these seminars is that they were all in. They were all in pursuit of that little fish. You know what I mean? It was their life. And there's an old saying that 10% of the people catch 90% of the fish. And how many of you guys have gone fishing with that? You know that there's some dude who like lives there, who that's all he does, and he's just like, you know, and you're like, what is going on here? You know, and it's like your dad, who's got all the flash gear and the boat, isn't catching anything. Now, I'd have to say this does not happen in my household. This is a curse that we have broken. This is a curse that we have broken, okay? But the reality is, I remember as a guy just going, man, dad, it's kind of like, if we're going to do this, we've got to be in. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's about spending time. I don't know, maybe that's what it's about to you, but I go fishing to catch fish. You know, I just want to spend time with you. Well, I love you, dad, but I'd love fish too, you know. That'd be awesome. And so I think it's the same thing. It's like, I don't want to be one of the 90%. You know what I'm saying? I want to be all in. Man, you know, you can't expect to sort of like Forrest Gump your way up to the stream and just start slaying it. You know what I mean? It don't happen. But what if this was a pursuit in your life? Something that you were earnestly desiring and seeking after. But too often we say, you know, as we go to pick that person up out of the wheelchair, as we go to see that eardrum come back, we say, what if nothing happens? Well, guys, if you don't get up and do something, if you don't get up and say something, nothing's already happening. Oh, I never thought of it that way. Okay, well, you know, the reality, nothing's already happening. You know, and yet, even if you're that old blind squirrel looking around, every once in a while you're going to get a walnut. You know what I'm saying? You just keep looking around. And it's like the eyes will begin to open. You'll have the insight. I guarantee you will grow in this area. So here's the thing. I want to get the worship team to come up here. Miracles. See, here's what I'm believing for. I believe that there is inherent power in you because the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when He does, you will receive power. I believe that. I believe that within that, it is the power to perform miracles. I believe within that there is the power for moral excellence. I believe that there's the power and influence that comes with wealth. Remember, we're not talking about riches per se. Do you know wealth can come in a people who are comfortable with who and what they are and do not believe they are second-class citizens? There's a wealth in that. Do you know there is a wealth in people who have dignity because they have self-worth, who do not believe that they have been tainted or used or degraded? Wealth and influence. I believe there's a power and influence within that of numbers as the body of Christ draws together rather than being spread apart. And I believe that there's a power of an army, of a force of hosts that is coming. Now you can say, well, Scott, that's good for you. I don't believe that. Fine. Fine. I believe it. And it's starting to come about within my own household. And within many in this fellowship. and within this city, as more people are being drawn into common fellowship. So here's the thing. Susan, maybe you could just pop next door and get the kids in. Thank you very much. We're just going to get the kids in. I think it's important that we get the kids in for these times of activation. And I think it's also important that we don't just leave these teachings as theory. See, a lot of us come to church and we just want theory. I have no desire to give you theory. My desire is to give you an opportunity to step out so that the power of God can be manifest in you and that the kingdom can be built. I want to share something with you that may be a shock to some of you. Jesus' ultimate purpose was not to forgive your sins. Okay, I know I'm freaking some of you. I'm just going to let that settle for a bit. Jesus' ultimate purpose, guys, listen to me. Jesus' ultimate purpose is to establish his kingdom through people who have had their sins forgiven. See, it's not, this is going to be a shock. It's not all about you. A couple of you understand that, okay? It ain't all about you. It's about the purposes that God has. So here's the thing. I just want, you know, I want you guys, as we sort of activate here, what I want you to do is I just want you to quickly, maybe you've had something that is a, you know, falls into that category of miracle that we've talked about. I just want you to share it. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to start off, okay? And I just want to just get a couple of these. I just want us to hear that God is doing this. Remember, we have all these sort of categories where God can work within this. And as he does, it should encourage us. Are we good? Everybody's got that possum in the headlights look. Okay. Are we good? Okay. The kids are good. That's all right. I'll take that. So here's the thing. I'm going to start off, all right? Maybe we can get a few of the lights down just so folks won't freak out quite as much. So, how many of you remember our 10th anniversary celebration? Seriously, Caleb's the only one. Anybody remember 10th anniversary? Remember when we had that? We ended up down at the lakefront. Well, who remembers? Man, it was my heart on that day that we would be able to just have an awesome time outdoors down at the lake. Just to see what God would do and just to proclaim the fact that we'd been here for 10 years out in the community, in the public. And what happened on that day? It bucketed. It was not spitting. It was bucketing. Who remembers how hard it was raining? Yeah, it was raining so hard that Jeremy had the brilliant idea of putting the bouncy castle up inside the downstairs. It was totally your idea. I was like, this is a bad idea, bro. And you're like, no, we're good. Who's telling the story here? All right. So regardless of Jeremy's advice, I decided to acquiesce. And we put up the bouncy castle because I said, man, these kids are going to have a bouncy castle today. There's still dings in the roof downstairs from the bouncy castle experiment. Whatever. But I remember we were sort of going, this isn't really working, and we took the bouncy castle down, and I remember we just kind of said, look, we need to step out. And we were going home to pick up some cakes and stuff, I believe, that we had at home. I can't remember why we went home, but as we were doing it, I noticed one of my boys was sort of walking back and forth, sort of in the rain behind the car just outside the garage. And he stood, and then my other son said, Dad, I think we need to rebuke the storm. And I was like, look, Jeremy's putting a bouncy castle up inside the downstairs. I don't have time to rebuke storms, okay? I'm busy. And my other son puts his arms up and begins to rebuke this storm in the name of Jesus. And as he did, the other son went out with him and started to do it with him. And they're rebuking the storm in the name of Jesus. And I kid you not, I think it started to rain harder when they did that. But they persisted. And I remember I went out with them simply because I wanted to look spiritual. And I was just kind of going, this is ridiculous, you know. And guys, where did we end up having our 10th anniversary? Down at the lake. You see, that may not be growing someone's arm back, but it is a miracle. And it's something where we're being like Jesus. So does anybody else have anything they just want to share? Yep, if you do, that's well, I see we got the mic. You know, we can use the mic if we want. It would be awesome if somebody would have just... It should be. Yeah, if you can...
Mention the one where a few years ago where I'd been foolish enough to pulling out a huge post back, you know, before we came here and damaged this shoulder and didn't even realise about the gifts and actually went to the hospital, but I left it so long to get that fixed. This one got frozen. And I tell you, absolutely, like I could go this way, but I couldn't even move it by past here. It's totally frozen, like just hungry. Come up, prayed one night on Wednesday night. Oh, sorry, Wednesday night. And my beautiful brother and pastor, he prayed and I loved it because not only did you say, oh, you know, yeah, get healed. And you said, oh, I believe, help my unbelief. And as soon as you said, help my unbelief, bang, it just rose up, totally healed. And only a few months later, I was happened to have I don't know what it was, but out of the blue, every time I kneeled, I had this huge pain. It was just not a mild one, because I mean, I don't mind a bit of pain, but it was shot up my leg. And I went to the doctors to find out what it was. And they said, oh, you got a problem with your instep, you'll have to wear special shoes. I said, oh, great, thanks, see you. Shot off here, out of the blue, it was a real miracle in itself. And I said, oh, no, I'm coming to see if someone's at church, because I'm going to get prayed for. And my brother, Jeremy, was here, he prayed for me. I don't know. He realizes, but as soon as you prayed for me, I never had a pain up my leg again, and I've never had to wear special shoes. You know, God is
amazing. Praise the Lord.
Hey, and something's a little bit out of the thing. Just one more. Only a few months ago, we were down at Murupara on Saturday nights helping out. There was a gorgeous lady from the States that had come over. She spent 6 months in the States and 6 months in Israel, and her brother's a pastor in Tauranga, so she happened to come down and speak down at Murupara, and she was amazing because she'd been... the Lord told her, no, I don't want you to go down to the bomb shelter. I want you to go on top of one of the houses, because over the house in Israel, they all have these flat roofs. And she went out the top of there, and she prayed against these two so-called rockets or whatever they were coming towards her. And they just turned away and disappeared. And it was not only that miracle that they didn't end up, you know, pretty close to wherever, ruining a whole lot of homes and killing people possibly. But even they said, recorded it later on, they were saying, hey, there's something weird going on, like the papers are just, you know, these... people who were obviously, you know, sending these bombs, saying, we don't even know where they ended up. You know, that's our Lord, isn't it? That's
miracle.
Amazing.
Praise the Lord. Cool. Anyone else?
I used to be gluten intolerant, and I had the top three specialists in the country scratching their heads. They told me to go gluten intolerant because that was what worked. They had no idea what was wrong with me. Came here, got prayed, and God healed me.
I remember that. We like making doctors scratch their head. It's pretty fun.
Hi. Just a couple of personal things and a couple for my friends. But, you know, I've prayed for people and, you know, where the legs have grown out and which is just like, oh my goodness, like what on earth do you do with that? And also I prayed for this one girl, this was probably about a year and a half ago, and she's profoundly deaf in one ear, and we would get her to close her eyes so she couldn't see where I was and like block off the good ear and just kept on stepping back and back and back. And then when she opened her eyes, she was absolutely blown away because I was probably about the distance from sound desk away and she could hear and I was speaking really quietly. Yeah. I was like, oh, glory to God.
Yeah.
And just another thing which I don't know what to do with, but I've had two friends that have been translated, if that's what you call it.
Mm.
Seriously, one lost an hour off her journey and one lost 20 minutes off her journey. These are people that I know personally that have faith, and one of them asked for it and one of them didn't. And seriously, she was like, oh no, I know this journey because she does it very regularly, and it was due to be, oh, you know, you go this and you go over the bridge and then turn left and blah blah blah, and she's like, well, hang on, we haven't done that part. And seriously, it was 20 minutes that she lost off that journey. And she actually said to the Lord, you know, I'm tired, I just want to get home, it'd be really cool if this happened. And it happened.
Boom. Cool.
I thought I'd back Scott up on that persistent praying for healing. Many years ago, I was about 10, I had a horrific accident and ended up damaging both my ankles, so much so that I couldn't run. And I always tell this story because it shows how if you keep seeking your healing, it comes. And it comes the most unlikely form. So flash forward, I was 19, had just come to Christ, and I was in a church, and there was a visiting healer who was standing up front, and he was saying, oh, there's someone here who has intense pain in their ankles, you can't run, you can't do the things that other people can do. And I was there going, oh God. You know that look, feeling you get when you're like, oh, that's me, and your heart's going, D-d-d-d-d-d-d-d. And I was like, no. And I was one of those people who sat right at the back of the church just so that people wouldn't point me out. And he was sitting there going, if you don't come up now, you'll never get it. This is your moment. And up until then, I'd had three people pray for me. I'd had multiple people, doctors, everything like that. You can just go through it in your head. And I was sitting there going, oh. And he's like, no, you have to come up now. And it completely, I'd say almost my will, but maybe something else, I've suddenly shunted forward. And I was like walking up and going. And he looked at me and he said, oh, good to see you're up here. I was like, hi. And he said, are you ready to have your healing? And I went, yeah, it would be good. No joke. As soon as he touched me, fire went straight through me. Centered on the ankles, went straight back up me, and I just looked at him and went, wow. And he said, can you run around the church? And we had quite a large church. He said, I want you to run 3 laps. And I went, I don't run, I fall. And he was like, no, go. And I was like, so I started out slowly, started getting faster, did my 3 laps, skidded to a halt in front of him, and I went, never done that before. And since then, I've completed 3 half marathons. I don't have shaky ankles anymore. But that took from the time that I was 9-10 to 19. So it's about 9-10 years of pain and that sort of thing, and having people trying to get it. But it built my faith in this persistent praying to be healed.
This one isn't about a healing, but this is the one that I told the kids today in Sunday school. Who knows about the back side of the lake where there's that really sharp turn?
Oh.
Scott was driving up to Auckland, and I don't think
just
he drove that road.
By the yeah. What's the resort there?
He hadn't driven that road very often. And he somehow got distracted, and you know, when he looked up, the turn was there, and he thought, "Oh, I'm not going to make it if I try and turn. I'm going to roll the van. If I slam on the brakes, I'm going to run into all this stuff at the front." So he just said, "He just, you know, let himself go." The van launched into the air, and Scott said he felt this hand just cover him, and he landed in the lake. All the windows were shattered. A huge branch came through the windshield and pinned the seat next to him. The window in front of him was not broken, and the window next to him was not broken. And the only injury he had was this tiny scratch on his hand from when he woke up underwater and tried to pull the seatbelt off, and he scratched himself. That was it. No pain, no nothing. I mean, this, no bruises from the seatbelt, nothing. It was like God's hand just covered him, protected him.
That's a good. That was, look, man, I totally forgot about that one. And I do remember it. I had looked up, and as I looked forward, I could just see the turn out of my peripheral vision, and I thought, if I try to brake or whatever, I'll roll, and I just launched off. And I remember the cops afterwards, they're like, this guy had one of those skid mark measurers, and he's like, well, I'm going to go measure the skid marks. And I go, dude, I didn't put on my brakes. And he goes, they all put on their brakes. And he walks off. And then he came back with it. I'm like, how was it? He goes, yeah, you didn't put on your brakes. But I remember being in the air, and this huge hand came over me, and I went to scream, and nothing came out. And the Lord spoke to me clear as a bell, and he says, we're not done yet. And the next thing I remember, I came to underwater, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And at that point, I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I'm like, wait, I'm underwater. And I didn't know how deep I was. I didn't know how, and I just started jerking at it, and that's because I panicked. That's when I cut myself. Yeah, I don't know what other category to put that in besides miracle. Jeremy, you when you were a kid, you had a with your.
Yeah, that was probably the most amazing thing I've seen. Is I had one leg shorter than the other, and not massively, but it was noticeable. It was probably about, I don't know, 15. Whoa. Might want to turn the salt back off, Russell. it was about probably 10 millimeters shorter, I suppose. It was noticeable. And Weston Carrier, who's recently passed away, was coming through, and he called me out and said, and actually my brother and my sister too, we all had the same problem. Call us out, and he said, we're going to pray that God would make your leg the same length, and he did. And I had my eyes open because I wanted to see it. And yeah, I watched my leg grow, literally grow, to be the same length as the other one, and watched it with my brother and sister as well. And it's kind of one of those things that's like, yeah, okay, God, you definitely exist. from that point on, so no one's going to convince me otherwise.
You can have a leg shorter than the other, and it can be perfectly healthy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that leg doesn't need to be healed. It's a healthy leg. It's just short. And so you don't need healing there. You need a miracle to get that leg longer. So here's the thing. Let's get the music back up, Russell. We're just going to basically... I just want us... God is real, guys. And the activation, if you will... Four miracles is, I believe it's Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. And in Galatians 3, 5, it tells us that we're to believe. And so ultimately, it's like that's the encouragement I want to give us this morning. Is it's like, don't be afraid. That's Luke 8:50. Don't be afraid, only believe. So here's the thing, is I believe miracles are for today, and we've heard testimony of what God has done, but I believe there's more that he wants to do, because we're not slaves, we're sons. We're not here to debate our citizenship, we're here to push forward the kingdom. And so as we end this morning, I just want you to stand with me as we activate this. I want you to stand with me. So stand up. This is something I want for you. This is something I want to put upon you. That I believe God wants to bring miracles through us because he wants his kingdom to be established. Can you say amen? He wants his kingdom to be established. Amen? Amen. So let's let this just sink into our hearts. Believing that he will and wants to.